Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. This is my first radio episode of 2020. It's exciting to start off a new decade here in the studio. And today I just wanted to get into what happened in God's work in 2019. We're broadcasting to you live today from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is the world headquarters of the Philadelphia Church of God. And so much has gone on in this church and in this work in the past year. But first, I just wanted to start off telling you a little tidbit from this week in church history. On January 7th, which is tomorrow, of 1934, the late theologian, educator, and Worldwide Church of God founder Herbert W. Armstrong began regular radio broadcasting. Now, we started KPCG, this radio station, which you can also listen to online at kpcg.fm, on May 5th, 2015. So it's already been over 4.5 years. As of this morning, when I looked on the website, there have been 1,144 episodes of the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, 465 episodes of the Trumpet Hour, 135 episodes of Watch Jerusalem. There was a new radio program started last year, 2019, called Rewind Repeat. It's a history program, and that had its first 5-part series. Live by Every Word has had 132 episodes so far. The Sun Also Rises, 50 episodes. Just the Best Literature, 187. Music for Life, 138. And then Behind the Work, this is the 44th one. And Trumpet Bookshelf, there have been 56. If you haven't given those other radio programs a chance, I would really encourage you to. There's really high-quality content on all of those shows about a variety of different, important, life-changing subjects. So let's get into this 2019, the work in review. Last year, March 31st, 2019, was the last day of the Seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah archaeological exhibit, which was on display right here at Armstrong Auditorium. That exhibit lasted from June 10th, 2018 through March 31st of last year. And we received 7,898 visitors. Almost all of those visitors were non-members of the Philadelphia Church of God. So these weren't even church members, almost all of them, well over 6,000 of them at least. Last year, the most recent ministerial conference took place from December 26th, 2018 through January 1st, 2019. So just barely got into 2019 there. Ministers from all around the world came to headquarters, approximately 60 of them, and they heard 33 hours of lectures. Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury gave 7 hours of lectures. He focused on building up the throne of David, and he also taught lessons from Psalms 89 and 119. From February 21st through March 1st, Mr. Fleury took a trip to the Edstone campus of the PCG, and he also, on that trip, went to Jerusalem and finally to Scotland to visit Armstrong College students who were on their Robbers Cave break. On April 13th last year, there was a church-wide fast to ask God to help with the finances of the work. In July, the Canadian Regional Office surpassed 22,000 waiting room subscriptions. That means if you're going to the dentist or a doctor's office or just to get your tires changed and you're sitting in their waiting room, there's a pretty good chance that you would see the Philadelphia Trumpet News Magazine sitting right there on one of the tables. 22,000 waiting rooms across Canada have the Trumpet Magazine in them. Pretty exciting. Last year was a massive year for personal appearance campaigns. The first half of the year, Trumpet Daily Radio Show host Stephen Fleury hosted personal appearance campaigns in Belfast, Northern Ireland, Glasgow, Scotland, and Cardiff, Wales. In the first quarter of last year, Mr. Gerald Fleury hosted campaigns in Tampa, Florida, and Portland, Oregon. Because of Mr. Gerald Fleury's right leg trouble, he had a venous leg insufficiency, which is trouble with the blood flow. Mr. Stephen Fleury came over from his post in Edstone, England, and he took over the personal appearance campaigns all through the summer and fall of last year. And this was just an epic run of campaigns, and Mr. Stephen Fleury was just so busy during this time. He went to Red Deer, Alberta, Canada, Spokane, Washington, New York City, Memphis, Tennessee, Phoenix, Arizona, Los Angeles and Sacramento, California, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Raleigh, North Carolina, Detroit, Michigan, Cincinnati, Ohio, Chicago, Illinois, and Indianapolis, Indiana, and also Ocala, Florida. And that was just from June 23rd through September 29th. So in just about 3 months, he went to well over a dozen cities. And oh, by the way, he was also keeping up with the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. You probably remember that even on the road at a lot of those trips, he was doing the radio show from his hotel room, in some cases really early in the morning because of the time zone differences. And oh, by the way, he also was the director of Philadelphia Youth Camp during the summer. So just a really busy time for him and just so much productivity. It was pretty inspiring to see that. By my count, there were 29 new Key of David television programs played this year, presented by Mr. Gerald Fleury. And all of these programs, as well as some repeats, resulted in 77,500 literature requests. 77,500 literature requests just as a result of the Key of David. And I believe that's just from the Key of David from Mr. Gerald Fleury and not the UK version from Mr. Stephen Fleury. And of course, there's a lot of other ways that people request literature too, but almost 80,000 came just from the TV program here. There was a little bit of bad news though with the TV station or the TV program. It was removed from a TV station in Australia in January due to, quote, divisive and inflammatory references to race. So I just thought I'd answer that accusation quickly. Just so you know, God's truth has always been called racist. When discussing God's view of race, we must set aside emotion and look at the facts. If you remember church history, you probably think about the fact that Mr. Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, was discontinued just a couple years after he died in 1986. His successors betrayed his legacy and dismantled God's work very quickly after Mr. Armstrong died. And they called that wonderful book that had gone out to over 6 million people racist. You just talk about the biblical identities of modern nations, and apparently that's racist. But there's scriptures to back up exactly what God thinks about race. Deuteronomy 32 verse 8 shows that God divided the nations and separated the sons of Adam by race. God created race. Is the creator of race a racist? That is one of the most absurd questions. Yet, That is what some detractors would have you believe. God segregated the races because each race is beautiful. God loves beauty and diversity. He wanted to keep the races pure and beautiful the way he created them. That controversy with that Australia TV station was actually a result of a TV program about France. And apparently France is a race now. That's not even accurate terminology. But just because Mr. Fleury talked about the biblical patriarch of the French people, Reuben, and some of his character traits that are also evident in the French people today, that TV station simply divined that the Key of David program is racist. I think that's just a good admonition for us to pray about these TV stations and pray about them wanting to allow these programs to reach the air. It seems like there can be some hostility towards certain Christian programming and certain types of messages. And really, any TV station that wants to could make an accusation like that, and then we'd have to part ways with them. Just one more thing about this question of race. I mean, this is something you see all the time in society today, too. People just throw out that term like it means nothing. People say, oh, well, this man's a racist because of something that he did 35 or 40 years ago, or because of something that he wrote in a book in 1965. He must be a racist. Just from simply talking about race in a very neutral way can often be considered racist by a lot of people, generally by spiritual liberals and by political liberals. But there's an article on the PCG.church website titled, "Why Are There Different Races?" Quote from this: "This is a fascinating subject that can help you to better understand the Father and Creator of all races. It is particularly important considering how much race has become a point of contention, misunderstanding, and hostility in this present evil world." Galatians 1 verse 4. "Whose God is an evil spirit being who hates humankind." 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. "Coming to view race as God does is liberating. As Jesus Christ said, 'And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" John 8, verse 32. God gives his perspective on race. He very clearly defines what he thinks. And simply by restating it, there can be some controversy. There can be some critics to that. But we need to understand that question just so that our faith isn't shaken by the critics. This past year, 2019, was also a great year for producing new PCG literature. The January 16th God's Miracle Day booklet went on thetrumpet.com on January 16th, so that worked out nicely. Production of Child Rearing with Vision was completed, and I can speak from experience with that one. Applying that book really is life-changing. It really will revolutionize child rearing. I have a 2.5-year-old. She's quite lively, quite energetic, quite stubborn a lot of the time. And it's really helpful to have a book that gives God's perspective on it, on how to raise a child the right way, with love, with patience, but also with firmness and with discipline and boundaries, because really, deep down, all children crave boundaries. And it's the job of any responsible parent to provide those boundaries, to set standards, to help their children set goals, to help them approach life and pursue life the right way. This Child Rearing with Vision book is so valuable for anyone with children. And really, the vision in it applies to everybody, whether you're a parent or not. Also, last year, Mr. Fleury completed his booklet, The Book of Hebrews, What Jesus Christ is Doing Today. That was a subject of many of his personal appearance campaigns over the course of well over a year and a half, basically. He was talking about the Book of Hebrews to all of these Trumpet subscribers who would come to meet him at cities throughout North America. And he was explaining how this book shows that our Savior lives. He's not a dead Savior. He's still alive, and he's still trying to help people now. And there are specific ways we can receive that help, real steps we can take to make sure that we are using our relationship with God the right way. And also, this past year, the 13th and final volume of the Bible Story was completed. So really some exciting things going on with the literature. And I believe there are also some other books or booklets that are well underway or have maybe even been partially published in a publication. And hopefully we'll see the completion of those this year. The Armstrong International Cultural Foundation Concert Series had a number of events. In fact, we reached event number 130 in series history on January 29th with the Russian National Ballet. Some other events that took place this year: the Julian Bliss Septet, the Shanghai Opera Symphony Orchestra, Celtic Knights Oceans of Hope, Canadian Brass, four Italian tenors, Daniel Hope on the violin with Zurich Chamber Orchestra, and the Lomazov Rackers Piano Duo. You see, we have world-class performers from around the world displaying the very best of the human spirit. And it's so inspiring to go into Armstrong Auditorium, one of the finest concert halls in the entire world, and listen to some of the finest performers in the entire world in that type of enriching environment. The sound, the acoustics in that building are unmatched. So there's really no better place to witness a concert. Philadelphia Youth Camp had their camps in the Philippines from April 28th through May 12th, in Edmond from July 9th through 29th, and then in Australia from December 23rd through just a couple days ago. It just ended. Email newsletters. The Trumpet Brief email surpassed 25,000 subscribers in March. The PCG Signposts email surpassed 3,000 subscribers in April. That Signposts email is quite powerful. There's a lot of writing from Mr. Fleury in that. And there was a really great article from the PCG Signposts email on Friday titled, What is True Freedom? And he talks about how a lot of people in America put so much emphasis on free speech that really all kinds of filth, all kinds of vile messaging is allowed, specifically pornography. That somehow is viewed as free speech. And as Mr. Fleury points out, there does have to be a set of priorities. We do have to put our families and our minds ahead of free speech. True freedom doesn't mean indulging in vice, because that's just slavery. So a powerful subject there in that PCG Signposts article. And you can get those in your inbox once or twice a week. Just go to thetrumpet.com or pcg.church, and you can sign up for a variety of different emails. There are also a lot of singles winter weekends this past year, January 18th through 21st in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. There is a black singles weekend, June 28th through 30th. That doesn't seem very racist if the church is even hosting events for other races like that. There's also a Philippines singles weekend, December 28th through 29th. Look at all the things the church tries to do for people of every background, every race. Alabama singles camp out August 30th. And then there was the Maine singles winter weekend here in Edmond from December 25th through 29th. Mr. Joel Hilliker, the presenter of the Trumpet Hour radio show, said in his sermon during the Edmond singles winter weekend that the purpose of the singles program in God's church is to prepare for marriage to Jesus Christ. By conquering unselfishness, singles may also experience the added benefit of physical marriage. He just talked about how singles have, they're free really to just serve nonstop. They don't have families to be concerned about yet. And so they can sow until it hurts, and then they can reap bountifully in God's time. Herbert W. Armstrong College and Imperial Academy. The college graduated 18 sophomores and 7 seniors this year, bringing the total graduates to 157 sophomores and 175 seniors. Imperial Academy graduated 8 this year, so there are now 82 total IA graduates. For the feast this year, Mr. Fleury traveled to, well, he started here in Edmond, then he traveled to Greenville, South Carolina, and England. There was a new magazine started this year. The first 2 issues published of the Watch Jerusalem magazine. And we've already started to receive positive responses from Israelis here at Sabbath services during the announcements portion. The minister sometimes reads letters from people who respond to this work. And it was really exciting to hear the names of different Israelis who were responding to the Watch Jerusalem magazine. It's not too often that we hear Israeli names attached to these comments. There aren't any Israeli members yet, and yet we do expect that to change very soon. We also found out toward the end of this year about negotiations for a possible property in Jerusalem. Negotiations are still ongoing about that, and we may end up looking elsewhere if the building we want to purchase doesn't work out. But we do know that a prophecy there in Isaiah 40 verse 9 must be fulfilled. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. And we also know it has to happen on site in Jerusalem. So whether that specific building is the one or whether we have to get another one, we definitely will have a pretty heavy presence in Jerusalem in the coming months and years. Just in November, Armstrong Auditorium won a Hall of Fame award from Trip Savvy just for its excellent standard, all of the events that are hosted, the quality of those performances. And finally, there was the PCG anniversary, 30 years of God's Church, the seventh and final church era. December 7th, 1989, God's Church started, or at least the Philadelphia Church of God started. It's already been 30 years, and we're just so excited to see what happens in 2020. So today we've just been looking at the year 2019, God's work in review. Hopefully this gives you a reminder of all the exciting activities that are always going on here in this work. You can't name another organization that is involved in so many different activities, all with the goal to give as much as possible. There is not income. There's not profits being made. It's not about trying to collect money. It's about giving and changing lives. And what an honor it is to be a part of this great work. Thanks so much for listening today. We'll be back on the radio on Friday for Trumpet Bookshelf at 10 a.m. Central Time, and then again on Monday for another episode of Behind the Work at 11:30 a.m. Central Time. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.